morning. Welcome to First Baptist Church on this Reign of Christ Sunday. This is the last Sunday of the Christian year, which means next Sunday we get to say Happy New Year. But for now, we celebrate the reign of Christ and prepare ourselves for the coming of our new year. We welcome those of you who are visiting with us, especially if you're visiting with us for the first time. We're glad you're here. We welcome those of you who are here with family for Thanksgiving, and we hope all of you have had a great holiday time together. I invite all of you to take a moment to look at your announcements in your bulletin insert. We've got a lot of things going on. I'm not going to highlight all of them, but there are a few that I want to make sure you know about. One is that we are welcoming many people to stay afterwards this morning to help decorate the sanctuary for Advent, and you can read about that in the insert. I also have great news, which is that you don't have to cook tonight. You can come here at 5 o'clock for the Advent workshop. You can read all about that. We're going to have lots of fun activities going on. It's intergenerational. This is for all ages, and we hope that you will come. If you're planning to come and you haven't let us know, it would be great if you could let us know. But if at the last minute you decide, I really want to come out to this extraordinarily fun and delicious evening, then come on, whether you RSVP'd or not. A third thing I want to make sure you know about is that every December we take up a collection. We make a food collection that we take to the community out at High Cone, where there are a lot of families with children who participate in the free lunch and hot breakfast programs at schools. And when they're out for the winter break, they don't have that same kind of support. So we step in and try to offer some support in this way. And we really need a lot of participation in this, donations of food as well as donations of money, which is used to buy fresh milk and other things like that. We only have two more Sundays to receive that collection. So if you've been thinking this is something that you would like to do, and I hope that it is, please go ahead and make sure to bring your donations in for that. Also, do make sure that you fill out your connection card, which is located in your bulletin. You can fill out the front now. You can fill out the back later in the service and make sure to drop that in the offering plate. You can read the rest of the announcements at your leisure. As Jesus Christ reigns in our hearts, may we rejoice in his peace, glory in his justice, and live in his love. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Alleluia. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. If you are able, please stand for the invocation. Gracious and loving God, you have created this beautiful day and have met all of us here this morning. Help us to turn off the notifications of our daily lives and open our hearts and minds to you so that we can focus on the messages you have for each one of us today, so that we might know you better, love you even more, and worship you more fully today and always. We ask this in Jesus' name. Sovereign, let the people tremble.
Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is the Lord.
Lover of justice, you have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness.
Give praise and worship to the Lord our God. Holy is the Lord.
Now a reading from the Epistle to the Ephesians. God put this power to work in Christ when God raised him from the dead and seated him at the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. And so set all of these under his feet, and is above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. God put all things under his feet and has made him head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who is all in all. The word of the Lord.
Praise you, God of glory. Praise you, Lord of peace. Praise you, lover of justice. Praise you, living God. In your Son, Jesus Christ, you have revealed the mystery of your vulnerable, suffering love. In him, we see your astonishing, life-giving alternative to all our earthly rulers and to all our own strivings for power, control, and satisfaction. Trusting that in him all reality holds together, we lift to you our sadness, our grief, and our prayers for all that is not right in our world. We pray for the people of Argentina, and especially for those whose loved ones have been lost at sea. We pray for the people of Egypt, and especially for those whose loved ones were killed or injured in the attack on the mosque. We pray for the people of Zimbabwe in their political transition. We pray for our own country as we continue to grapple with division, anxiety, deceit, and so many forms of abuse. We pray too for the poor, the homeless, the hungry, for those in prison, for those who live with fear, shame, depression, addiction, or hopelessness. We pray for those who grieve. We pray for all those who love people they feel they cannot help. And we pray for ourselves, your church, that we might more faithfully embody the spirit of Jesus, who is friend to the friendless and who lived truth in the face of lies. Help us to be so bold. In that boldness and in faith, we also pray for those we know to lift to you by name. We pray for Juanita Dieterle, Ed and Marilyn Marsh, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Ethan Wright, Peter Mortensen, Wally Jordan, Dottie Kassler, for Robert, for Dana Rogers, Will Healy, Kathy Bloink, the Kleba family, for Claudio Lima, David, Valerie Nebbia, Jim Terrace, Jim Johnson, for Mike, Barb, and Bob, for the Jones family, John Wallace, Danny Jones, for Ava and Ray Goff, and for Kim and Jason Weaver. We also offer you our private prayers in silence. Holy One, you break the power of evil and make all things new. Help us to live as signs of that power and that newness. Empower us to heal the world with you. Teach us to see you, to serve you, and to proclaim your reign of justice, peace, and endless love through Jesus Christ, who reigns forever and who taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you're able, will you please stand for this morning's gospel reading? This morning's gospel reading comes from Matthew as Jesus is speaking to the disciples. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that I saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. The word of the Lord. And now I would like to invite the children to come forward while the rest of us sing.
Have a hand raised. Do you think Katarina knows the question? Katarina, what are you thinking about? Ooh, Messiah. Would you come be our scribe? We are going to list a whole bunch of names for Jesus, and I wonder how fast we can do it. We're thinking about names for Jesus. Katarina's going to write the one she said. Alexandra, Son of God. Good. Who's got another one? Another way we call Jesus by name with a different name. Do you think? Emmanuel.
Savior.
What's another one? Lord. Redeemer.
Good.
Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. Good job. God of Life. Derek, you have one?
King.
King. Oh. Today we're talking about Jesus as King.
Yeah.
Good job, Katarina. We're going quick. Can you think of any other ones? Ooh, I love this one. Friend. Friend. That's another name for Jesus. And there's another one. Oh!
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel. Emmanuel is another name for Jesus. We heard also head of the church in our reading today. Head of the church. That's funny. Do you ever call Jesus head? Dear head. That's another name. Well, we're going to be thinking about this name, Emmanuel, while Katarina finishes up. Thank you for being our scribe. Who knows what Emmanuel means? Does anybody know what Emmanuel means? Who knows?
God is with us.
God with us. I want to show you the sign for Emmanuel, that name for Jesus, which means that God is with us. And here's the sign for God. Can you do that? God, that's good. This is with.
Like two things coming together.
And this is us. Yeah. So let's put it together. Emmanuel is those three parts.
God with us.
Good. We're going to have a new song to sing before time as children. You know we've been singing Spirit of the Living God for the last couple of weeks? We're going to have a new song during our time of Advent. Like Pastor Stacy said, the new year, the new church year. We're going to sing a song about Jesus coming as a baby. Emmanuel, Emmanuel. There's another sign in there that I want to teach you, and it says, revealed in us. That God is revealed in us. Jesus is revealed in us, and that means shown. So can you do this sign?
This is revealed, shown, shown in us. So we're going to sing this song.
And I invite you to turn to hymn 204 in your hymnals for you that are in the pews. And it's called Emmanuel, Emmanuel, his name. Oh, I wanted to teach you that too. Name is this.
Okay, so we've got Emmanuel. We've got name. Revealed. And then we do Emmanuel again. We repeat quite a bit so we'll get in our heads and our hearts.
So Miss Shanae is going to play, and we'll sing along, and we'll do the signs together on page 204.
Thank you.
as we come up for Time as Children starting next week. Now, we have one more chance to sing with the congregation before we go to Time as Children, because Pastor Paul picked out a really fun song. He's got the whole world in his hands. So we're going to head down to the carpet right in front of the first pew, and we'll sing it together. And I have signs for that one, too. So can you use your walking feet down, and we'll sing that one together as well.
That was fun. Let's pray together. Now, you who hold us all, may your Spirit speak to us all, and may all of us in some measure find a way to say yes. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. 11 days ago, a painting was sold at auction at a record-breaking price for a painting. $453 million. Almost half a billion dollars for a painting. It's by Leonardo da Vinci. And it's called Salvator Mundi, Savior of the World. It's an image of Christ from the chest upward, facing the viewer, his right hand raised in blessing, his left hand holding a crystal orb that represents the world. Christ holding the world in his hand. More amazing than the price of it is what the painting has been through. For centuries, it was lost. And more than once, it was painted over. A Da Vinci painted over. Somebody trying to fix it. No idea what they were working on. And then in 1958, somebody bought it. For $125. Just 12 years ago, someone looked again and suspected it was a Da Vinci. 6 years of careful restoration and identification, and here it is now, Da Vinci's Christ in royal blue, gazing at us inscrutable expression, not quite smiling, sovereign, mysterious, blessing, and holding the world. Many who have stood before that painting, art critics included, have found it breathtaking, transcendent, powerfully a spiritual work. Others have held a different view. Not authentic, say some. And one critic has said, even if authentic, it's unimpressive. All of it seems fitting to the subject matter. Most of our images of Christ don't change. Christ teaching and healing, Christ in a manger or on a cross or rising from the dead, but Christ eternally sovereign, holding all the world. That one gets lost or distorted, sold cheap. And when that perspective does get reclaimed and made right, some people are moved and others find it unimpressive. Which is exactly how it was from the very beginning. This was the big joke when he was crucified. Soldiers of the empire made a crown out of thorn branches and pressed it into his scalp, threw a purple robe over his shoulders, bowed to him, "Hail King," they said, then hoisted him up on a cross for everybody to see, naked, spikes through his feet and hands, pathetic, moaning, and that ridiculous crown, and over his head they tacked up the sign, "King." They must have almost fallen down laughing. Hilarious joke of a king. And that is what the early Christians were up against when they tried to tell their faith that Jesus was God's exalted Christ, sovereign over all the world. How pathetic they must have seemed, and how stupidly treasonous. As an actual emperor with his cronies and his wealth and his massive military made it indisputable who actually held the world in his grip. Still, they kept up their absurd, brave little witness against that power and all other powers like it. They preached it and sang it in lines like the ones we heard this morning. God seated Jesus at the right hand of the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and has put all things under his feet and has made him the head of all things. How on earth could such a thing be said? When the world shows no evidence at all of being ruled by anything but greed and brute force and lies and blowhards in high office, by terrorists and corrupted religion all over the world, by journalists, politicians, and entertainers who turn out to be predators and creeps. All of that has been the rule, the power, the authority, the dominion. And Christ is over all of them, head of them. They're all under his feet. Well, they never got the message, did they? And maybe any picture of Christ holding the world should show the thing on fire. Or maybe we should just concede that this whole thing was all along a wish dream. Pathetic. Or we could begin to think of Christ as King in a very different way. Did you know there's a story in the Gospels where the crowds tried to crown him as king and he ran away from them and hid? He never wanted to be a king, never wanted power, not as we understand power. According to him, he was here to bring life to the world, life in abundance. He was the emissary of joy and came as a servant washing feet. He lifted the faces of the poor, laid his hands on the sick, brought good news to outcast people, declared forgiveness, urged repentant living, kindled the dream of the kingdom of God, said, "It's here among you now." And to everybody who would listen, he taught how to be true citizens of that kingdom, forgiving, compassionate, peaceable, generous, fearlessly trusting God and sharing good news with everybody. At times he was severe, especially toward religious hypocrisy that judged and excluded certain other people. But that too was his kindness, and his kindness was miraculous, willing to suffer the very worst for the sake of joy and for the freedom of the world. And so the soldiers of the empire, in their way, were right that the dying figure they had crowned with thorns was king. And will always be. Which should tell us all we need to know about the hands that hold the world. Love. Ferocious love. Sovereign. Compassion wider than the universe, holding every atom of this little world. They are gentle hands and kind and terribly familiar with suffering for love's sake. The hands of one who knows a lie when it is told and is affronted by betrayals of others and personally bears the pain of the victimized. One also from whom there will come a reckoning. But this Christ will not fix by force. This Christ is unarmed, grieves and absorbs violence, but will not wield it. So why is it that Christians so often have assumed that Christ, as sovereign over all, is somehow different from the one who walked among us in the flesh with such compassion and great humility, and whose embrace would exclude no one but would force no one either? That is the one who holds this fragile, beautiful, bleeding world. So of course it doesn't look like all is well, and the rulers and authorities and powers and dominions wreak all kinds of havoc and deal out all kinds of death. But a cosmic mercy holds all the world, and love's invincible power to liberate and transform, This is the only final power. Its victory is already won and inevitably will have the final word. Hatred, bigotry, meanness, tyranny, lies, abuse, they will all be defeated, and it will be love and only love that defeats them. For it is love, sovereign, wider than this universe by infinity, that holds every atom of this world. Marion Williams was one of the greatest gospel singers of all time. She knew plenty of hardship herself. Her childhood family lived in such poverty, she had to leave school at age 9 to take a job. All her life, or for many years, she had to work menial jobs. And all her life, she endured the indignities of racism, especially in the South, where she lived. But she sang. She sang on street corners. She sang in churches. She sang finally in great auditoriums, sang that hands-on-the-hips kind of gospel. My favorite is her version of "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands," which is why we sang it a while ago. I love it because she made up some verses that are sassy. Her version, with just gospel piano and drums and that Hammond B3 gospel organ, starts like ours does, just jazzier. "He's got the whole world in his hand, got the whole wide world in his hand," etc. But then this: "He's got the whole world in his hand, he's got your money too in his hands, he owns all the banks in his hand, got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got all the presidents in his hands, got the kings and queens in his hand, he's got everybody in his hands, the whole wide world in his hands." Then she finishes the song with this: "And another thing, he's got Alabama, yes he does, in his hands. And Louisiana, child, in his hands. And all Mississippi, right in his hands. The whole wide world in his hands." Now go on. "He's got the White House in his hands, and the Congress, and Wall Street, and the Kremlin, and North and South Korea, and the church, and mosques, and synagogues, and temples, and the woodlands, and rivers, and prairies, and the children, and every one of you, and me, all of us, every last one, all of them, in the hands of love." Let us dare to believe that that is true. Let us lift our faces and call Christ's love our sovereign. And let us take the knee for him and bow our hearts to him and sing for him. Let our hearts crown him with gratefulness and wonder. And above all, let us get up to serve the ultimate love that holds the world and live our lives with courage to speak the truth in love and be a voice for justice and hold fast to what is right and true and share good news and lose ourselves in the hope-filled, joy-filled, generous life, which is the only life that holds and heals and redeems the world to the end. Hallelujah. Amen. And to offer our praise and to get up and serve means also the giving of what we have and the giving of who we are now and in the future. It is time then to make every offering that we can. This is our glad and joyous and hopeful worship. God, receive what we offer and consecrate it and lift up our hearts forever to serve the love that holds through eternity through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
citizens of that kingdom, blessed beyond belief, let us extend to one another now the best of gifts. May the peace of Christ be with you.
We are so happy this morning to once again be welcoming new members. And I'm going to invite our newest members to come on up here and stand with us. And we will be saying some words of welcome. Their biographical information is in your bulletin insert, but I want to tell you a little about them. Down here is the Eby family, Jean and Nancy. They are here with their daughters, Anna and Chloe. Jean and Nancy are native Michiganders who met while working at St. Joe's, where Jean was the director of pharmacy and Nancy was a nurse. And now they are still both in healthcare. They've done so many things in healthcare. I have to double check and make sure I get it right. Nancy is currently for Bristol Myers Squibb Oncology in immunotherapy, and Jean is a consultant in healthcare. And their daughters are in preschool and fourth grade. And their daughters are actually really how they ended up coming here, because their daughters became friends with Alexandra and Katarina, and then their two families became friends, and the Doncic da Silva family invited them, and we're so glad that you have decided to make this your church home. And right here to my right are the Goodhearts, Heidi and Mark. You have been seeing them for a while, but you might not have seen them for a while, because they've been coming to our church for a while, but for the last several months have been sitting up there in the alto and bass sections of the choir. They came here several years ago from Chicago, and Mark is also in healthcare analytics, and Heidi is a nurse. I mean, not a nurse, sorry. Heidi is an artist, a nurse for the soul. And they have two grown sons. One of whom lives in Colorado, and the other of whom lives in Chicago, but soon to be in Colorado. And as you will see in their bio, they also have the dubious distinction of both being PKs, preacher kids, which they're in good company, actually, in this church. As well as, Heidi points out, she is also a PS, which is a preacher sister. Heather Entrekin and Pete Stover, Heather is Heidi's sister, and they are fairly new, somewhat new members as well. And we're just glad to have you also as officially part of our church family. So let's say our words of welcome to these new members, if you would join with me. We gladly welcome you into this church home. We pledge to learn with you, to serve with you,
and to grow with you in the family of Jesus Christ.
We are all made richer in faith because of your joining us. May the Lord Jesus Christ strengthen us all to be good friends to each other and fully faithful to the calling of God on our lives together.
Invite the Eves and the Goodhearts to be standing with Paul at the bottom of the ramp so you can make your official welcome to them on your way out of the service this morning. Now receive the benediction.